KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. Welcome to another edition of Environmental Voices. I'm Marie Rock, and joining me once again in the studio is Shirley Nordstrom. How you doing today, Shirley?
I'm awesome. I'm fantastic.
What are we going to talk about?
Megan. Wolf.
Okay.
So we are about 39 days out from the second state wolf hunt.
Okay.
And there's still a lot of people working feverishly late into the night trying to figure out how to stop this hunt from occurring, at least on tribal lands.
Yeah.
And so I thought that would be a good time to talk about Mayingan. So, you know, he was delisted in January of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I just want to tell you a story. And prior to that, there were a lot of hearings around the state, around the nation, actually, where U.S. Fish and Wildlife came to your community and took testimony from you as to why or why not you felt had a passion or a feeling about the delisting of a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one of those events up in Bemidji. It was organized in part by the Indigenous Environmental Network.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in a lot of tribal elders, a lot of tribal community people that had drummed there. They sang the songs. People gave testimony in Ojibwe language.
Okay.
They had translators. There was youth there giving testimony. And a friend of mine, Simone Senegals, who works for Indigenous Environmental Network, was visiting with the head U.S. Fish and Wildlife guy that was there, and he said, this is all really nice. This is really nice, but, you know, our decisions have to be based in science. And, you know, that's very hurtful words on his part, because there's many different worldviews and ways of looking at things, and he was dismissing our traditional ecological knowledge, our science, you mm-hmm. know. When you think about those terms, Anishinaabe people have lived thousands of years in harmony with the wolf and with all the beings here and didn't have any problems. So to totally dismiss everything that was being said and everything that was done was quite disrespectful. And I just wanted to share that story because I really think we need to start thinking about different worldviews other than the Western worldview and how to do things.
Why do you think they even started doing this wolf hunt?
Well, Europeans have been killing wolves ever since they came here.
Okay.
They brought an ecology of fear with them. And, you know, go think about European, all the Little Red Riding Hood. You know, mm-hmm. the wolf was, if you go even back and looking at their art, the wolf was always depicted as an evil character.
Okay.
And in Native worldviews, the wolf is always held very high in esteem. And in Ojibwe, we know that we were told by Creator that whatever happened to the wolf would also happen to us, that we're brothers, we're related.
Wow.
And so, you know, I have a friend, Bob Shimmick, who he's like the wolf guru. He's been working on the wolf issues from the very beginning, as has my little sister Sharon. So they're my kind of go-to people to listen to on these things. But my friend Bob has done this research where he's looked at what's happening to wolf in the history of U.S. and what's happened to the native in the history of U.S. And there's a very strong correlation to how the government policy toward natives and what was happening with the wolves.
Wow.
You can see it. You know, bill by bill, action by action, that there's a direct correlation.
Wow.
So if you hold to, you hold these traditional beliefs, you know, the fact that there's a hunt right now is very concerning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's really unjust, because they had a wolf roundtable in mm-hmm. the state. They had a bunch of people sitting at the table. There were farmers, there were foresters, there were natives, all sitting there talking about the how to manage the wolf once he was delisted. And these guys met for 2 years. And they finally walked away from the table with an agreement, and nobody was happy. That's when you know you have a true agreement that is compromising, because no one was happy
right.
with what they said. But one of the things that was said in there is that once the wolf was delisted, there would be a 5-year moratorium on the hunt while they studied populations. And that didn't happen. Within a year, the state had dismissed the roundtable findings and had issued a hunt.
Why?
That's the question on everybody's mind.
Wow.
I mean, it's a trophy hunt. You don't eat wolf.
No, you don't.
You know, those guys hang them on the wall or something. I don't know what they do with them. So it's a trophy hunt. And why? When you don't have, you know, they said, like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife guy said, our decisions have to be based in science. There's no science at all for the state. They don't know what the populations are.
That's right.
So, you know, in the last count, the 2012, 2013 population count of the wolf, there was 2,211 wolves. And then the hunt last year, there were 413 wolves taken. Mm-hmm. That's a 25% loss in population. Wolves have a hard enough struggle as it is. You know, they have disease. The survival rate of their young isn't very good. And they haven't studied them very well here. So a person has to wonder. And they're going to go into another hunt.
Yeah.
They decreased the numbers, I understand. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, you're going into another hunt not knowing anything. I think you're putting them straight back on the brink of being threatened. I think they are threatened. I think they are endangered. But, you know, there's no sound science or decisions being made about this.
You know, I was talking to a wildlife biologist from a DRM, and we were talking about the wolf hunt. And I was mentioning that I know that wolves are really social animals. They have the pack. Of course, they have the alpha male, alpha female. Wouldn't you say that if you killed off the alpha male or the alpha female, that that would kind of like disintegrate the pack? I mean, they would all be a bunch of youngsters without a leader.
Exactly. That's very brilliant thinking, Marie, because that's one of the things that Bob Shimek talks about. If you remove the alphas from there, you know, think about it like our family. You remove mom and dad, you know, the kids are going to be doing silly things. They're not going to know what to do or how to do it. Okay. And so you could potentially be driving them to go after livestock or to go after easy food mm-hmm. source, because they've lost the pack dynamics and they're great elder teachers. You okay. know, they don't know what to do.
He also mentioned, too, that when that happens, of course, they're also subject to other packs and being taken over. So he said for, let's say, 413 wolves were taken, you're not counting the other ones that would be taken by their own, yeah. Wiped out by another pack.
Wiped out by another pack or succumbed to disease. You know, one of the things that I asked a wildlife biologist not too long ago was, you know, all of us as humans and our dogs are being impacted by Lyme disease and anaplasmosis. I mean, that's really high rates of that going around in the canine community. So I said, is this happening in the wolf communities, and what happens to these, you know, wolves from these diseases? And he said, I don't know.
Wow.
You know, so these are pretty very concerning things for me to think about as we're heading into another hunt. Mm-hmm. And wolves have been... there's this documentary out called Lords of Nature.
Okay.
And you can watch it if you go to Howling for Wolves, just Google Howling for Wolves. It's a great website. Lots of information there, accurate information. And there's a movie on there called The Lords of Nature. And it's talking about how the high predators, wolves, grizzlies, and cougars actually are good for the ecosystem. And we knew that as Anishinaabe people. We understood that. But it's, I think, the first time I've actually heard researchers and scientists saying that. And they were able to correlate, you know, in Yellowstone when they started looking at this. These researchers' names are Ripple and Bestia. And one of them was looking at the death of the popple in Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. The popple were dying. And the other one was looking at the loss of cottonwood along stream banks. Mm-hmm. And the only major catastrophic thing that they could correlate to in the time frames that these started dying was the loss of large predators from Yellowstone. And so they started looking at the wolves. Like, take it here. Foresters have said that they appreciate wolves because they keep the deer herds down and they can plant young trees and there's not the overbrowsing from all the deer. Mm-hmm. So you get a fresher growth of trees and more biodiversity in there. As far as wildlife biologists, they've said that wolf populations can keep predators like skunk and fox and wolves away and are potentially increasing waterfowl like swans and ducks and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what they found in Yellowstone, that these high predators were actually good for the environment because they kept the grazers in balance, you know, with mm-hmm. nature. And once they restored larger predators, these popple and cottonwood started coming back again and wow. things were brought back into balance.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
Shirley, if we want to learn more about wolves, you gave us a website. Can you give it that
yep.
again?
Howling for Wolves.
Okay.
It's a great website. That's an awesome resource.
Oh, just Google that and there you'll find it.
There you go.
All right. We have any questions? How do we get a hold of, well, you or whoever you want to pass us along to?
You can call the folks over at DRM. I have not yet met the new wildlife biologist that you mentioned, but... I would contact DRM and talk to the new wildlife biologist or Steve Martinson over there. If you want to talk more to me, you can reach me at the Tribal College. And if you also want to talk to anybody who wants to get in contact with Bob Shimmick, if you call me, I will tell you how to get in contact with him.
Awesome. All right. Once again, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's going to wrap up another edition of Environmental Voices for KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. I'm Marie Rock.